Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu has narrated a hadith. And in this hadith, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Ta'ala has created specific angels and specific groups of angels within them, whose duty is that they wander around the world. Their job, their duty is to continue wandering and seeking around the world, just like you look for something, you know. And when, what do they seek? What do they look for? These angels are looking for those people who are collected and gathered at some specific place and they are doing the dhikr of Allah. When these angels find a place where people are gathered and busy in doing dhikr of Allah, then they call out to the other angels, come, come, for the purpose that Allah Ta'ala sent us to the world, He gave us the duty to seek, to look out, that jama'ah, that group of people, we found them. We found them. And then the angels, they run, they scarper towards that gathering, that jama'ah that is doing dhikr. In the hadith, it stated that the angels gather, so many angels gather around the people, the dhakireen who are doing dhikr of Allah, around them, on top of each other, that they reach to the heights, to the skies, to the heavens. Angels upon angels upon angels. And when the dhikr ends and the angels go back to the heavens, after surrounding the gathering on the earth, then remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khabir and basir. He is all seeing, all hearing and all knowing. But He still, despite that, asks the angels, where have you come from? And the angels, they say, Allah, where you sent us to, we have come from there. And we have achieved our objective, the duty you gave to us. And we saw such a jama'ah, such a group of people who were gathered to do your dhikr. They were remembering you. And they will speak, they will have a discussion with Allah. Allah will say, ah, you saw such people who were doing my dhikr in such a place. Yes, Allah, in Bolton, in the UK, they were sitting in your house, in the house of Allah, and they were doing the remembrance of Allah, the dhikr of Allah. The angels will tell Allah that this masjid, they will name the masjid, they will name the person who was hosting the dhikr and who was sitting in the dhikr. Allah Ta'ala gets the whole report, because these are the angels, and when they get the duty, they're not going to hide anything, are they? So Allah Ta'ala, they say, we give you the full report. There was this man, this man, this man, this name, this sahab was hosting the dhikr, this sahab was sitting in the dhikr. And mashallah, we sit, like we read Fazail-e Amal every day. Ta'aleem is here in the masjid. We read these things in the ta'aleem, in this kitab. Hazrat Shaykh al-Adiz has mentioned this hadith. Then Allah Ta'ala says, is it so? Now think here, Allah Ta'ala's court, Allah's presence, the angels are talking to Allah, and Allah Ta'ala says that, they are telling me about that deed which I like the most. Allah says, oh, were they doing my dhikr? Why were they doing my dhikr? What a unique question Allah Ta'ala will ask them. Did they see me? That they were doing my dhikr? You remember that person normally and praise that person and glorify that person who you see. But dhikr is something based on muhabbat, love. And if you love something or somebody, then you will remember that thing and that person. If you don't love somebody, you will run away from that person. So this question arises that the people who do the dhikr of Allah, most definitely they have love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In their hearts, Allah Ta'ala has instilled His love. So this is repeated, Allah Ta'ala is repeating this. What was the reason that they were doing my dhikr, that they're doing my dhikr, and they're sitting in the dhikr of Allah? What is the reason for this? So they will ask this question. Allah will ask this question, and the angels will answer. So Allah Ta'ala will ask, why were they remembering me? They haven't seen me. They haven't witnessed me. They don't know who I am. By sight, without seeing, without watching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills into somebody's heart His love, then what will be that individual, tell me? What will be his rank, his status? So doing dhikr of Allah, the sign here is that a person who does dhikr of Allah, inside his heart is the love of Allah. In that heart, where Allah ta'ala's love starts to multiply, then that heart itself automatically will start going towards the dhikr of Allah. The more you try to deviate it, it won't stop. The more you try to make it stop doing dhikr of Allah, it won't, because love doesn't listen. Love and ishq, it doesn't live and it has, listen, it has to do the action that it wants to. So the question here, there's a point here that comes out that Allah Ta'ala will ask that they didn't see me. So why were they remembering me? Why were they doing my dhikr? So Allah Ta'ala will say Himself that if they saw me, then what would they have done? Aha, subhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala says they haven't even seen me and they love me so much. And the angels say, Allah, you created this love in the heart. We weren't capable. The Allah Ta'ala, your love is in the, inculcated in their heart. Say subhanAllah. Otherwise, why would we be sitting in the dhikr? I'd be standing at my shop or discussing and gossiping at home. I'd have left to go somewhere. So who is Kareem that has, alhamdulillah, dragged our hearts And he's dragged us again. As the time passes, he dragged us down again and said, sit here. How Allah Ta'ala is merciful. Is it? So Allah Ta'ala said, they could have seen me. Then Allah, that would have been something else if they saw you. Then there would have been a different situation if they had seen you. Then the question would not arise that they wouldn't remember you. But without seeing you, Allah, they love you so much and they remember you. And imagine a person who sees Allah, how much he will remember Allah. Allah says, okay. What were they asking from me? They will say, Allah, they were asking Jannah from you. Paradise. Yes. And Allah Ta'ala, they'll say they heard from people, they've read in your kitabs, through wise, through lecture, through Jummah Salah, through Ta'aleem, through walking in the dunya, through speeches. They read and they heard about Jannah, paradise, and the desire came into the heart. Allah says, is it? So they were asking for paradise, and this is a sign of paradise. We haven't seen paradise, but we asked for paradise, but because we know what will be in paradise. There'll be mansions and beautiful big houses, beautiful wives, and rivers flowing. And when you hear these things, your yearning increases. I remember a child, mashallah, he was 4 years old. And the teacher, he told me, and I cannot forget this event until now. Many times I've mentioned this. And just like the children, when they're told something, Jannah will be like this, there will be this in Jannah. So she's telling the children, the teacher, that in paradise there will be this, there will be so many wabuds. And she said the story, and it was a little child, 4 years old. And he said, so why don't we go to Allah now? What are we waiting for? There's so much, there was desire and yearning in the child. So hadith, ta'aleem, tabligh, calling people, this is telling people about Allah Ta'ala, and it encourages people and increases the yearning and desire in the heart. So the biggest desire, Allah Ta'ala has automatically given us the Qur'an. The Qur'an and the events of the Qur'an, the stories of the Qur'an, the events of Jannah and Paradise and the accounts. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, this is my Qur'an. And when we read Qur'an, Surah Rahman, then the encouragement and desire increases in the heart. So we should go towards this as well, and we should earn Jannah as well. So what we realize here is that the people who do dhikr of Allah, within their hearts, Allah Ta'ala puts the whole encouragement and desire and yearning within the heart due to the dhikr of Allah. And this is the sign of Iman, my friends. So what happens then? So Allah will say, why were they asking for paradise? Have they seen paradise? And the angel will say, Allah, they didn't see paradise. Allah says, what if they saw paradise? Then the angel will say, oh Allah, then they'd be so passionate for Ramadan, for paradise. So passionate beyond even understanding. And then Allah says, what did they ask for? Allah, the angels will say, they were asking for refuge from hellfire. They were asking for refuge from hellfire. We heard these events in the Quran as well. That how much hatred we should create in our hearts for going to hellfire. And what is the reason for this? Because sins. The reason for hellfire was sins. Hellfire was created due to the sins. And so look at the point here, so beautiful for the people who do dhikr of Allah. One is that Allah Ta'ala says, I'm announcing paradise and the reward due to their love in their hearts for me. And secondly, they ask for refuge and protection from hellfire. That after doing dhikr, that inside them, the feeling that they had, the awareness of Jahannam and hellfire, they start to create hatred for hellfire. They will never leave salah. They will have hatred for leaving salah. They will never leave congregation. They will never lie. They will never oppress anybody. They will never commit injustice to anybody. They will never hit anybody. They will never kill anybody. And what is this that creates all these feelings? The dhikr of Allah creates these feelings. That what was within them, that Allah, they had hatred and opposition to Jahannam, to hellfire. It's apparent that when we make a mistake, when you commit a sin, at that time, you may think Jahannam looks beloved, because otherwise you wouldn't do that sin, would you? So when you leave Salah, you know that you're going to go to Jahannam. When you commit a sin, you know you're going to go to Jahannam. Due to leaving Salah, will you go to Jannah? Of course not, you'll go to Jahannam. So at that time, when a person is leaving Salah, committing a sin, he doesn't praise Salah. So what does he embrace? He embraces Jahannam, hellfire. He loves hellfire at that time. He doesn't love paradise at that time, a person who's sinning, he or she. This is a big disease, we must kill this disease. So Allah Ta'ala says that people who do dhikr, when a person starts to do dhikr of Allah, this sifat, this attribute comes into his heart, that he starts to hate the sins, and he starts to hate hellfire automatically. And when you hate hellfire automatically, then you will not commit those af'al, those deeds, that will take you towards the hellfire. Yes? So Allah says, is this also, this occurred? The angels say, yes Allah, then the discussion will end. Allah will say, my angels, bear witness, I make you the witness today. That were these people doing all of this? They were doing dhikr of Allah, and they were attaining all of these things. Then Allah says, I make you my witness today, my angels, I have forgiven every single one of those persons who were sitting in that gathering of dhikr. Subhanallah. So here, praise be to Allah, this hadith that I presented to you, So in the nights of Ramadan, morning and evening, alhamdulillah, walking, talking, sitting with istiqama, this jama'at had the good fortune to do dhikr every morning, every evening. This jama'at, with the fazl and karam of Allah, we were given these majalis, these gatherings. So I will say, based on shukr, that such a great amal Allah Ta'ala gave us the tawfiq to do this deed, that morning and evening we were sitting in this deed, due to which Allah Ta'ala has given us these rewards. Subhanallah. Hazrat Shaddad rahmatullahi alayhi in Fazail Amal, this hadith is narrated that I am presenting to you regarding Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith rahmatullahi alayhi, wrote this hadith in the Fazail Amal. Hazrat Shaddad rahmatullahi alayhi, may Allah have mercy on him, and this is a hadith narrated by a sahabi radiyallahu anhu, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came one day, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the sahaba ikram, his blessed companions, and he asked the question that, is there a stranger amongst you? Is there any amongst you who is a stranger, who is not common amongst us? And the sahaba said, what kind of action is this that we're doing, that this question is being asked, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's no one here amongst us. I cannot see anyone. We cannot see anyone. Then Allah says, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if there's a stranger, then get him out of here. So what we realize here is that in the gathering of dhikr, only the people who have a strong heart and a connection with Allah can sit, who have muhabbat and love and connection with Allah, who have a clean niyyah, sincere niyyah, and who attain the, who want to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, who want to annihilate the sins, who want to attain paradise, who want Allah Ta'ala's qurb, nearness, and his marifat and knowledge and awareness. And only those who have a connection with Allah, they attain this gathering. So this majlis that we're sitting in, only the true lovers of Allah can sit here. And a ghair and a stranger who does not have the love of Allah will not come. Why would Allah Ta'ala call a stranger to a gathering of dhikr? Otherwise the angels will say, begone with you, and make him go away from that gathering, and create hatred in his heart from the dhikr of Allah. There's a meaning of a hadith which is such, that a person, if he wants to see that who loves Allah and who doesn't love Allah, then see who does dhikr of Allah and who doesn't do dhikr of Allah. This is the sign that Allah Ta'ala has put. Dhikr of Allah is such a great deed. Such a great deed. Then next, Hazrat Shaddad rahmatullahi said, that in this hadith that he narrated, this hadith is in Fazail Amal, which has a Shaykh al-Hadith has included in Fazail Amal, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is there any stranger in this gathering of dhikr? No? Okay, close the door. Close the door. Just like the lights are switched off when we do dhikr of Allah, then I'm telling you the hadith there. And here, a person sometimes sits on his own, isolation, to get focus and concentration. So this is cure, that your focus and concentration increases when people sit in isolation, in more darkness. This increases your concentration levels, your focus and attention. And in that same way, then you have enjoyment and satisfaction in doing dhikr of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us these things, these points, the tariqah, the methodology. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, close the door. The companions were there. Then dhikr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, raise your hands. And this is to increase the drive, determination, and the passion within, like the gatherings of the walis of Allah. When a person gets immersed in the dhikr of Allah, and so much drive and passion is in the heart of that person, that he moves himself or sways a little bit, and his focus is increased. One is showing off. One is for pretense and showing off. But the other thing, the hadith shows that the feelings and the emotions, because the dhikr of Allah is so great, the emotions are so great, and he's getting to Allah Ta'ala's qurb. For example, when he does La ilaha illallah, then all of the doors in heaven are open for that person. In the Fazail Amal, this hadith is there, that until the arsh, his dua and his dhikr of La ilaha illallah reaches to the arsh Allah of Allah. And these are the feelings, emotions of a person that are increased and heightened when he does the dhikr of Allah. And they're increased. And the jazb and the feeling and the emotion and the passion, a person, he sits and sometimes his hand raises out of muhabbat. And this is not against the sunnah. This is not against deen. For example, the sahaba ikram, they raised their hand. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them and said that you are doing talqeen. You are agreeing. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them the dhikr first, and then they did and recited the dhikr. And this is talqeen dhikr, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will recite first La ilaha illallah. If I say La ilaha illallah, you repeat La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. When I say the dhikr, and this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this, and what did he say to the blessed companions? All of you raise your hands and say La ilaha illallah. Then the sahaba ikram, subhanallah, they were the lovers. They obeyed straight away. Look at their iman, their muhabbat, their love. And who was the person hosting the dhikr? The Shaykh, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the jamaat is the companions. In the hadith it says that the angels descend to the group. Then tell me what will be their feeling and emotion at that time when they were doing dhikr. Imagine the hair stand on end. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reciting dhikr, selling them the verses to recite. The sahaba ikram are repeating. The doors are closed and the dhikr is what? La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Imagine the feeling of the sahaba ikram at that time. When this dhikr finished, was concluded, then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that, go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to do this amal the whole of Ramadan. Say alhamdulillah, morning and evening, regularly. Our Mawla gave us health and iman. He was merciful to us. He gave us his fadl. Subhanallah, despite having thousands of sins, despite thousands of negligences and things that we left, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with so much tiredness, there wasn't even any time. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants us to do good deeds, He extends the time in such a way that dhikr there was. We used to do dhikr openly, then we'd go home and do nafal and then do suhoor, and totally fresh, we'd come back and do dhikr again. Say subhanallah. This is all the karam, the mercy of Allah, who wants us to be forgiven, who wants to elevate our stages, our status, who wants to increase our heart and the love in our heart. He gives us to do the amal, the deeds that we do, such that we can attain these things. Subhanallah. The Allah says in the Quran, in the verse of Quran in Surah Kaf, and this again has been repeated in Fazail Amal, this hadith, that every day we hear in the ta'aleem, in the education, and this is the nur, the light that we get from ta'aleem. This is the benefit. A person should sit in these things and partake the benefit. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Kaf, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah has included this explanation in Fazail Amal, and has explained the meaning of this regarding the dhikr of Allah and the importance of dhikr of Allah. Here, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in his hujra, in his room, and this ayah was revealed. That, oh my mahbub, my beloved, that go and sit with those people who morning and evening do my dhikr. The Nabi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought and stood suddenly and thought, who are these people that he, the Imam of the Anbiya, the head of the Anbiya, the Prophets, is being told that go and sit with these people. Subhanallah, imagine now, if I give you the example, that there's a king. For example, the king of this locality, I don't know his name. And that king is told that in Bolton or in Bristol or Preston, there's a person and you must go to that person and speak to him or sit with him. Then the person, the king of the land, will think, who is it that I'm being sent to? It must be a person of high rank and status, that me, the king, the leader, is being sent there. And consider here, the Imam al-Anbiya is being sent. That go and sit with those people, your companions. Sit with them, pass time with them, give them your company. So here the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thought that, who are these people? Which companions of mine am I being referred to and being told to go to? And straight away he left and departed to go to them. And when did he go to look for his companions? When Allah Ta'ala tells somebody that go and seek a certain special group of people. So where will the passion tell the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where to go and seek those people? Will they be in the bazaar? Will they be in the shopping center, in the market? Will they be at home? No. Definitely they will go to a place which is good. So for example, if I'm told that go and meet a pious person, will I go to a shop or to a market or the shopping center? Straight away, if I'm going to be sent to go to meet a pious person or a malana or a sheikh, where will I go to? To the house of Allah. When there is a person and he is a status, he is a link with a physical place. So here, look at the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the Prophet, the Imam al-Anbiya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the hint and the guidance and direction to go and sit with your blessed companions, for they are doing a good action. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought, these companions that Allah Ta'ala is telling me to go towards, they definitely must be doing such a great action that they can only and only be in the masjid, in the house of Allah, doing this action that Allah Ta'ala is sending to me. So the masjid, the masajid, the masjid, the house of Allah, they are abad, they are filled with the noor and the light only by those people who do the dhikr of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala asks that, can there not be a greater zalim and oppressor than that person who stops the gatherings of zikr of Allah being formed and continued regularly in the house of Allah? So Allah Ta'ala says, a person who tries to stop the gathering of dhikr of Allah in the masjid and the house of Allah, wretched is that person. So look here, the people of knowledge are sitting here. The Allah Ta'ala says, the biggest zalim, can there be a bigger zalim than this? That the dhikr of Allah is being performed, not in a hujra, not in a house, not in a hall, not in some center, khalis in the house of Allah, in the masjid. That if the dhikr of Allah is being performed in the masjid, and an individual tries to stop an individual or a jamaat, then Allah Ta'ala says, that person is wretched. These are those people who are doing the dhikr of Allah. They are those people who are making the house of Allah become full and busy. Allah Ta'ala says, if you try to stop this gathering, then in this world and the hereafter, I will make you destroyed. In this dunya wal akhirah, Allah Ta'ala says, I'll destroy that person who tries to cease the activity of the dhikr of Allah. And here we look at the example. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was told by Allah that go and sit with these companions. So the Prophet of Allah came out of his house. He went, the wahi had already come. He saw his companions, they were busy and sitting. He went and sat with them and said, what is this action you are doing that Allah Ta'ala told me to come to you? What is it, the action you are doing? And the companions answered, that, oh, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are doing the dhikr of Allah. In another hadith, in another narration, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Mubarak to you, congratulations to you, you are doing the dhikr of Allah." And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You are praising Allah, great praise to Allah that in my ummah Allah Ta'ala has created such companions of mine, such believers in my ummah until the day of judgment." This hint is there, this direction is there. Thou people who do the dhikr of Allah, this hint and direction is to you until the day of judgment that in my ummah there will be such people. There are such people who I was given the hukum, the order to go and sit with those people. Subhanallah, such a great rank, such a great status Allah Ta'ala gives to those people who do dhikr, who are the dhakir, and Allah Ta'ala also will give that to us, that we, us people, are here today for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. So we will be included in that qabool. So dhikr of Allah is a great action, brothers. Don't discard it, don't disregard it. Who is the biggest enemy of deen? Shaitan. Who will stop you from the deen? Shaitan. Who will whisper in your ears? Shaitan. Who will stop you doing good deeds? Shaitan. Whenever you stand to do something of the deen, you say, "I want to do chilla. I want to go out in the path of Allah." The people in your household may not stop you, but first your nafs will stop you. That's why it's given targheeb. "No, I can't go out for a year or 40 days. People go for Ramadan. MashaAllah, jamaats go for 40 days with happiness. They go and come and their faces are full of noor. And we are lazy sitting at home because why didn't we go?" So who stopped us? Who? Our neighbors, our household, our people and our family? No, our nafs and shaitan. They stop us for every good deed. Remember this. So whenever a good deed comes to your mind, you want to do a good deed, and Allah Ta'ala's preferential deed comes to your mind and heart, then remember one point definitely: the shaitan will attack you, your nafs will attack you, your base desires will attack you, and shaitan will come to you in different forms. He will whisper in your ears, he will come in the form of human beings who will try to divert you, deviate you. Remember, when you've learnt an action which is proven from Quran, hadith, the sayings of the Salaf and the Qabirin, and you want to do this and your heart or something is telling you don't do it, then definitely understand this is shaitan. Break his attack, break your desires attack. If you break the idol of shaitan and that idol of your nafs, then alhamdulillah, you will get close to Allah by breaking your desires and the saying of shaitan. Whenever a person, a believer, tries to do a good action and he feels there are restrictions or something, there's an obstacle in front of him, then understand this is shaitan and nafs. And the true walis of Allah, the true believers, the true mu'mineen, when they overcome the obstacle of shaitan and their nafs, then understand that these people are those who have love of Allah in their hearts, who are striving and going on the journey towards Allah. A sheikh, a wali of Allah, was asked, "What is it that you do in your life that you are so close to Allah?" And he gave the reply in a verse that remembering Allah is the means that detaches me from the dunya. I have no fikr for anybody in the world. I have detached the love of everything in the world. I have made one my mahbub, one my beloved. Who is that? Allah. He said, "I have the thoughts and the feelings of my yar, my friend, all the time. Doesn't matter what anyone says to me. They swear at me, joke against me, jest against me, tell me I'm wasting my time. I don't have no regard for anybody. I have made one being my mahbub, my beloved. And I have annihilated my thoughts and my feelings and my desires. Just one being and one objective that I've made, the end point, that I should continue every second in the worry and the fikr and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And this is that Allah Ta'ala creates in the heavens and He instills in the heart of His believer. So this is proven. As a Shaddad rahmatullahi, what do we see from his hadith in Fazail Amal? That collective dhikr is proven. In Jami' Asul, this hadith is coming in another narration. As a Shaykh al-Hadith says about the benefits of dhikr from Jami' Asul, from the principles of hadith. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he called the Sahaba and he closed the door and he told them to raise their hands and he recited La ilaha illallah, this is proven that you can recite and they can repeat in collective fashion. And this is in Jami'ul Hadith, the collection of the hadith. And the other hadith, the Quran proves in the verses of the Quran, it is proven that in the masjid to do the dhikr in collection, in a gathering, is proven. Do you understand the point? So when we sit for the dhikr of Allah, shaitan comes in different forms. He whispers in your ear, in your heart, or in the form of human beings. And you feel though, "I don't want to do it." You're lazy, you're negligent. Remember, this is shaitan in your nafs. You can't kill shaitan physically. You can't kill your nafs physically. There's only one thing that can assist you. Then go towards the sunnah. Go towards sharia. What does shara? What does Quran? What does the sunnah say? What is the hukum of the deen about this one I'm doing? Soon as you get the dalil, then become independent of the shaitan and nafs and continue with the action. Then whatever action you're doing, continue in that and don't have to worry for anything else. These few hadith are presented in front of you so we can increase our encouragement and a desire. Hi, my brothers. Oh, ho, Ramadan has passed. These kalamats we're going to repeat now. After the Ramadan goes, we won't get the same reward. After an hour or two, Ramadan will finish and the angels will pack their luggage, they will depart. The angels of Ramadan, they're packing their goods, their belongings, and they're departing. And many walis of Allah saw in Kashf, in vision, that when the sun sets, Ramadan is about to depart, and special angels of Allah, you will read them. The ulama ikram have explained to us in their lectures, in the hadith, in Fazail Amal, in Talim, that when the nights of Ramadan come, the angels descend to the earth, and they stay here up to 30 days. They are guests on the earth, and they're looking and seeking, and they have their beds and their mattresses, and they're looking and living and seeing in the world who is reading Quran, who is doing Qiyam, who is doing Sujood, who is doing Ruku. They're looking for the people who do Ibadah, and they sit with those people, and they recite the Quran with the people who recite the Quran. And this is now departing from us. 30 days have passed, like the wind, like the breeze we haven't even seen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our broken deeds. Ameen. These are the final moments. This is the final hour. 2 hours. SubhanAllah. I remember when Ramadan started, and that day we were doing dhikr of Allah when Ramadan started. SubhanAllah. Allah so merciful. Our initiation of Ramadan was with dhikr of Allah. Such a great action, about which the hadith are presented to you. And today Ramadan is departing. In a few hours Ramadan will be gone. And today we are also remembering Allah. So I do dua to Allah that we're departing from the world. Even at that time we should be doing the dhikr of Allah. May the la ilaha illallah be recited Ramadan continue on our tongues and our hearts for the rest of the year. These few moments that are left, my friends. Then the angels, they will be getting ready to go at Maghrib time. When we start the dhikr of Allah, look at the hadith, keep them in your mind. As Ramadan is departing, they will look at the other hadith. The other jama'ah of angels will be descending, the jama'ah of dhikr. So the jama'ah, the gathering of the angels of Ramadan will be departing, and the gathering of the angels of dhikr, for the gathering of dhikr, they will be descending. And for example, a company and sohbat is a very big thing. And if you live with somebody for a few days and he has a bad habit of smoking and you stay with him for 4, 5, 6 days, then at least that person, out of happiness of your gathering, of your company, he will start to love the deen of Allah, and he will maybe discard the cigarettes for those few days and start to do dhikr and remembrance. If somebody's smoking the hookah or the shisha and you say, for example, oh, let me discard this. Actually, I remember our elders in our locality where we used to live, and he used to smoke the hookah. And while we used to sit with him in the company, then sometimes, for example, out of the bad company, the people, they would start smoking as well. The smoking, the cigarette or the shisha or the hookah. So when, for example, 30 days, when you have the company of bad people, 4, 5, 6 days, you might acquire the bad deeds, the effect of the bad deeds and the sins. So what did we do for 30 days? We didn't lie. We didn't backbite. We knew we had a fast. We don't want to lie. We used to protect our gaze, our evil eyes, and singing and dancing and music. We used to save ourselves from that. And we were cautious and careful. And we used to run towards salah. We used to run towards ta'lim and good company, pious company. And we used to do tasbihat and dhikr and recitation of Quran 5 or 6 or 7 times. People have finished and completed the Quran. We used to do tasbihat and sadaqat and giving charity and giving masjid to the masjid, money to the masjid, and sadaqah and zakah. And what was this due to? The Ramadan, the barakah of Ramadan. So after 30 days, Ramadan is departing. But the color has come onto our lives and our hearts and our minds and our bodies. So don't detach yourself from these habits that you've acquired in Ramadan. Even though Ramadan is going, don't leave those deeds. Otherwise you will have betrayed Ramadan. Ramadan will complain that you are not a person who fulfilled my rights. I departed and you suddenly straight away discard all of the deeds that you learnt. But if we keep those amal alive after Ramadan, then inshallah we will have fulfilled the rights of Ramadan. So if you want a good Ramadan, the next Ramadan, if you want a better Ramadan next time, then it is lazim, compulsory, that the habits that we've inculcated in our life during the month of the blessed month, you don't have to do it that much every day. If for example you've recited 5 times in the day the salah, on top of that you've recited Nafl Salah, or you've read 5 juz in a day. If you can't do that, then recite 5 ruku, 5 portions of the Quran. Or if 4 times you came to dhikr in the masjid, then at least come once a week after Ramadan to the dhikr. And lying, backbiting, envy, hatred, jealousy, and malice towards people. For example, if you have these feelings in your heart, then your Quran won't be recited, your Umrah won't be recited, your Hajj won't be recited. The malice and hatred and jealousy and envy for people. What is malice? What is malice against a person? What are bad, harboring bad thoughts against a person? That you keep in your heart and mind bad thoughts about that person, and you're planning some actions, negative actions against that person. So if you have these feelings in your heart, dirty diseases, then what's the point of your recitation of Quran and Umrah and Hajj? Even Ramadan will tell you that what fasting have you done when you have bad thoughts and feelings against other people. So that person who has envy and hatred and malice and jealousy the whole month of Ramadan in his heart, then for the rest of the year he will continue to do these sins. So people who have not discarded the internal sins of their heart during Ramadan, then this is a very dangerous situation. Then how dangerous situation? How for the rest of the year will he discard and leave the internal sins and maladies and diseases? For the rest of the year he will do the same thing. He will plan and plot and harbor ill thoughts against people. A person who spent his Ramadan with backbiting, he will continue to backbite for the rest of the month. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us. May Allah Ta'ala save us. Even now while Ramadan is departing, if you've spent your Ramadan like this, if you've done Ramadan where you've done fatwas and hatred and haram and spoke bad against other people, and you've had jealousy against people, and you've sowed envy in the hearts of other people against other people, or bad thoughts about other people, then my friends, these thoughts, these actions, these internal diseases and sins will continue for the rest of the year. Brothers, we still have time. We have an hour. We have 2 hours. For the sake of Ramadan, for the friendship of Ramadan, for the sake of our attachment with Ramadan, if we've done these haram deeds, these sins in Ramadan, then straight away do tawbah, repent. Why? Otherwise your life will be destroyed. Allah, I backbite against this person, Allah forgive me. Allah, I slandered this person, Allah forgive me. I planned and plot against this person that after Ramadan I'm going to do this. I spread fitra against this person that he is lowly, he is a bad person, he is this and that, he has got bad habits, so that I could come out on top. I had takabbur and pride. He is the biggest zalim who has done these actions. Who doesn't accept his deficiencies and spreads deficiencies about other people? Who doesn't accept that he's a zalim, an oppressor? He should accept Allah, I've lied. I spoke bad against this brother or sister. I tried to destroy his reputation. I tried to create hatred in the hearts of other people for this person, for this brother and sister. And that person who sits today, and even in this time, he doesn't accept these sins he did, then he is the biggest mutakabir. And the mutakabir, Allah Ta'ala says punishment, then he will rise with the mutakabir. Beware, never do the actions that I've just mentioned in the last few minutes. For the sake of your respect and your deen, beware, discard these sins, the internal sins of the heart. Never think you are a mutakabbir. Never consider yourself better than other people. Accept, even now, Allah have made a mistake. Allah is reminding us, Ramadan is departing. If during Ramadan we've backbited, slandered, and done bad thoughts and malice and hatred against people, then straight away raise your hand. Allah says, I'm Kareem, I'm Rahim. The angels are still here. The angels of Ramadan are still here. They're witnessing and listening to your tawbah. Before they wrap up their goods and belongings and their bundles and their bedding or whatever and depart from the world, then accept Allah. I wanted to deceive someone. I wanted to commit fraud with somebody. I wanted to do zulm with somebody. I wanted to do backbiting with somebody. To somebody I swore. To somebody I spoke negative. Wallah, Allah, I accept. I did all of these sins against the people, your creation, the humans. Allah, you are Khabir and Basir. What can I hide from you? If I pretend I didn't do these things, then I'm doing fraud against you, Allah. I'm lying against you, Allah. I'm trying to slander against you as well, Allah. Allah, accept all of these sins. Allah, keep these sins away from me. Make me stop doing these sins. Then you'll be bathed, you'll be purified, and you will attain all of the rules of Ramadan. Will you do this, my brothers? Say inshallah. Say inshallah. So now, alhamdulillah, we go to the final point. The habits we've brought into our life during Ramadan, Quran, going in Jamaat, Taaleem, learning and knowledge and Dhikr, all of these deeds we have to continue with after Ramadan, even be it little bit, but don't discard these deeds. Do all of this, my friends, attach yourself to the house of Allah, to the masjid, pray every salah in congregation, make effort and strive when you come back home from work, run to the masjid, pray salah in jama'ah. Don't be lazy for fajr salah in the masjid. When you do these things, shakartum, Allah Ta'ala says, then you are shakartum, you have done shukr of my Ramadan, and then the next Ramadan will be better than this, and your darajat will be increased higher than this, and you will get more than this. And the greatest good news, that even if you die, Allah's promise is haq. If you die after this Ramadan, before the next Ramadan, and you fulfill the rites of this Ramadan that were due to it, then Allah Ta'ala says, I promised you, you may have died after Ramadan, but Allah says, shakartum, where will you get the better Ramadan if you die before the next Ramadan? Allah says, my promise is established, then I will give you the greater rewards in the hereafter when you come to me. Allah says, definitely you'll get the reward, and you'll get it in paradise if you don't get the next Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq, that what we've heard, we've shared, these are the final moments of Ramadan. Let's remember Allah with a broken heart in the final moments of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity, such a great daraja and rank and status Allah gives. Imagine in these final moments of Ramadan, you're saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, you're saying la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, you're doing dhikr of Allah. The greatest rewards you are getting now. Because if you put all of the riches and wealth of the world on one side, you cannot compare to these moments that we do the dhikr of Allah and we're getting this reward. The Ramadan is departing and you are doing dhikr of Allah. You're crying, you're asking from Allah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Allah's mercies and blessings. And if we're ungrateful even then my friends, we are the worst of the ungrateful people. So let's start the dhikr, recite the durood sharif.